Welcome to Healthy You Radio Network, radio that empowers you to heal you. This is Dr. Keisha Ewers, your network host, and I'm proud to introduce the most dynamic show on radio that's all about the health of your mind and the expansion of your consciousness. Welcome to Mind Matters Radio with meditation guru, registered hypnotherapist, Enneagram coach, and Reiki master, Ajay Amboris.
Ever wonder what you're really capable of? Scientists tell us we use only a fraction of our true potential. Welcome to Mind Matters, part of the Healthy You Radio Network, where we'll explore the frontiers of human growth. Find out what experts in the field of psychology, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, and science have to say that will help you to live your life to the fullest. And now your host, Ajay Amboris.
Hello, welcome to Mind Matters. Only I'm not Ajay, I'm Polly Campbell. I'm filling in for Ajay Amboris today. I'm the author of Imperfect Spirituality. But Mind Matters is here every Monday, and Ajay will be back with you next week. We come to you every Monday for one reason, because your mind matters, and we want to give you the tools and the knowledge to develop and heal your mind. We're going to start right in on it today, because I'm excited to visit with George and Sedina Capanelli. They are the authors of Do Not Go Quietly. They're co-founders of Age Nation, a digital media company, and the Age of Empowerment, a nonprofit organization working to support our more vulnerable aging population. Both Sedina and George are consultants and experts on societal change, and that's some of what we're going to be talking about today, because all of us are facing changes, and we are all aging, as is our nation. So how can we do that and live our best lives? How can we start exploring our lives and building our dreams and having fun while we're doing it? We're going to be talking about all of that today. So, George, Sedina, welcome. Thank you for coming on today.
Pleasure to be here, Polly.
Thank you, Polly. We're very happy to be here.
Well, I enjoyed looking at your book. It's called Do Not Go Quietly. And let's start with that title. Where did that come from?
Well, you know, we believe that life should be a joyful noise, you know. So the problem, there's a famous poem by Dylan Thomas called Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas wrote that poem really as out of frustration and at his father's diminishing capabilities and some of the limited resources. And as we were getting into this book, we realized that there are two ways to view the aging process. One is the way Dylan Thomas did, and to be upset about it. And the other alternative is to look at it as a terrific opportunity to do a lot of things we either have never done before or have always wanted to do. So we believe that it is a time to make that joyful noise, and that's where the title comes from.
You know, and I love that. And I love how you're talking about it, because we have a choice, right? We have a choice to decide how we're going to live these next moments, these next days, and hopefully these next years. And as a culture, it seems like we are really worried about aging, even to the point that we think we can change it or alter it or stop it. And we worry, too, about having a population that is older than ever before. And yet in your book, Sedina, you write that this is also a fertile time, a fertile ground. What do you mean by that?
We're talking about the fact that it is a fertile ground for breakthrough or breakdown. There's a lot of things that we can point to that are a breakdown, obviously. There's just so many things going on, protecting the wealthy, and the majority of us are being pushed aside, particularly the elderly. So that's part of what we mean by that. And a fertile ground for a historic breakthrough is what we're really talking about, because as older Gen Xers, and that's, about 40 to 45, boomers, 46 to 64, and elders, we have really an opportunity now. We have the time, and at least most of us have the time. We have more time than when we ever had before. 40 to 50 years, scientists are saying, and lifespans reaching into the 80s and 90s and beyond. We have resources. About 80% of the nation's wealth is in our power, and it's a lot of power. We have talent, we have experience, wisdom, so many things, and we can turn this all around to a sustainable course. It's not a sustainable course right now, and elders are suffering in many, many ways. We're out of balance, and we're out of balance just at a time when 50% of the population will be over 50 years of age for the first time in history. So it's definitely time to steer the ship in the right direction.
When I was reading your book, so much about aging is what's going wrong and what's going haywire, and I really felt enlivened and excited. And when you talk about this as a time of opportunity, I'm wondering how you got into that yourselves, the two of you. Was this something you were experiencing in your own life and you started to think about your experience differently? Or I know you've been doing transformational work for years. Tell me what led you to this book.
Well, actually, it started when we made a challenging passage with both sets of our parents. And at that moment, we realized that we had been living, in some sort of an illusion. But when we had to make the passage of becoming caregivers and be responsible for our parents and to help them make that journey, we understood that there was a lot about the American system, healthcare, life care, and whatnot, that was really pretty broken, we realized that that wasn't the way we wanted to live, that we believe that as a nation we can do much better. We can honor our elders, we can provide alternative choices, and we realize that we are part of generations that did not take the last century sitting down at all, human rights, animal rights, women's rights, civil rights, all of this stuff, environmental awareness. We either witnessed or participated in the birth and the growth of these movements of great social change. So from our perspective, there needed to be a reason that there are so many people who are older on the planet at the same time for the first time in history. And it seemed natural that there must be some extraordinary opportunities. So that's part of the genesis of the book and also why it has that kind of enlivened. It's interesting that you use that word because Sedina does some very special programs on enlivened aging. So it's
right.
Just quite natural.
So yeah. the fact that we have this population that is 50 and older and aging, you don't see it as coincidence then. You see it as setting us up for this great transformation, it sounds like.
Well, I think the world needs, it needs us right now. Mm. You know, we have, especially in America, we live in an age of youth obsession and age aversion. And so we have a lot of people in Washington and in other state capitals that are half our age, have half our experience, and I sometimes think half our intelligence, making decisions about the future of the world. And it's great that their voices are in the mix, but heck, we ought to have our own voices in the mix. And we have the weight and the heft and the experience to do that. And so that's why we feel that it is a time that isn't coincidental at all.
And go ahead, Polly, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to continue on with that, and then I have a question for you too, Sedina. But my question is then, you're looking at this from not only an individual perspective, how we can live wisely and consciously in our own lives, but also from a societal perspective, it sounds like, our responsibility to creating change, to create this sustainable living experience. Is that
absolutely
correct?
Absolutely. We have both a responsibility and an obligation. We have been at the tiller a long time. We've done some terrific stuff, but we've also screwed up a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, the world is not in the best of shape. So it seems to me and to Sedina and to a lot of other people that we have a responsibility to make things right, not only with ourselves, but with the world.
Great. Gina, did you want to add on or have a comment? I want to ask you what enlivened means when you use that word.
Well, the same way you used it, Polly, it's rather than maybe anti-aging, which I hate that, or or even de-aging, which I believe that we're enlivening or we're aging, and we have a choice in every moment to do something that ages us or enlivens us, something that makes us more vital or less vital, more healthy, less healthy, and in this way we shape our lives moment by moment, and we can breathe into every moment and let our feelings in and let them out. It's not like when we become fearful of aging and all of these, we put up all of these barriers to it so that we don't have to look at it. Yes, that's what society teaches us to do. However, I feel that we can enliven at this time of our lives, and there's so much research being done that proves that we can come into a new time of life. We have gifts that we never had when we were younger. We have new possibilities. When we were younger, we had a lot of things that we're going to lose as we age. But as we grow older, there are some amazing gifts that we never had access to when we were younger. I was going way too fast. I know that. And so if we stand in these gifts and this wisdom and honor it, then we're given this opportunity to really enliven, to become alive at whatever age we are. So that's what that means to me. It's the whole system aliveness, body, mind, emotions, and spirit, and that's the work that I do now.
To become alive at every phase of our lives. There are a lot of losses that we also associate with aging. And I like this notion of gifts that we're also getting that you referred to. We don't necessarily think about that a whole lot, and yet these changes that come on are not all there to hinder us. They're helping us to grow, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Polly. There's Eckhart Tolle in, I don't remember, frankly, whether it's The Power of Now or The New Earth, but he talks about the fact that when there's a loss, it's like there's a hole that's torn in the fabric of life, and that if we have courage and willingness, the winds of grace will blow through that hole in the fabric, you know? And so we look at aging in the same way. Yes, there are losses of some capacities and, some abilities that we had earlier in life. But if we are courageous and don't try to walk into the future backward, but we walk into it facing what is the unknown, and if we're willing to explore and be curious about life, then life is going to present us with new opportunities, with new situations. One of them, of course, is the deepening of our spiritual journey. We have the opportunity to look within, to go within, to explore a lot of the dimensions that mystics and wise beings have been telling us about for a long time. So it's an extraordinary time if we're willing to use it, if we don't clench our teeth and resist and regret and all the rest of it.
Isn't that true? We do clench our teeth and we hold on and we focus on this one monumental moment, which is our physical death, instead of those years in between that we can age and grow into our spirituality. How can we find this courage you're talking about and unclench a little bit so we can really be conscious to what's going on before that moment?
Well, I think about, Polly, just the idea that we need a higher perspective. And I'm always reminded of just a visual that keeps coming to me about hiking down in a valley, and then eventually I get to the top of this cliff or this mountain, and I have this broad view. I have a different view than I had when I was in the valley now. I can see much farther. I look down and I can appreciate where I came from, and I can move out further. So there's a lot of ways. There's a lot of different teachings. There's Suzuki Roshi, the Zen master, said that our whole process about finding our true nature is one continuous mistake, that we're going to fall down and make mistakes and see less than clearly at times, and we're going to have these changes, these unsettling changes. And rather than that being a reason for depression or discouragement, he says to actually use it as a motivation. And when you find yourself being doubtful or fearful, depressed, whatever it is, just take a deep breath and affirm your inner strength out of pride for everything that's happened to you and who you are, and pride in your goodness and your gifts and your talents and your incomparable being. Because it's a privilege to be alive.
Isn't that true?
It's such a privilege. There's a quote that says, never fear growing old. There's many who've never had the privilege.
Right.
So we're alive, and we can do a lot with it, as George is saying. It's just an opportunity to take the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and on, and look at them. An energy is released when we're willing to see from a different perspective that, wow, this can be an amazing time of life. I can really share my gifts and talents. Isn't this incredible? Rather than focusing on what we've been taught, those old dodgy beliefs that, oh, when you get older, this is what happens to you. That's only if that's in your consciousness that happens to you.
A couple minutes ago, and you just referred to it again, you said breathe into the moment. And you mean that literally, right? You're talking about a physical breathing in as well as an awareness that comes over you. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I believe that if we just took time between the events of our day and just simply took a breath, we might realize, because as soon as we enter into the breath, we enter in the present moment. Can't be anywhere else if you're breathing in. You're out of your mind, what I call the top office, you're out of there. And the simple act of breathing can be your guide to greater awareness and get you out of chaotic and counterproductive thoughts and just bring you into the moment and into this precious life.
That's fantastic. I think that makes all the difference. And there's a lot more I want to talk about. We're going to get into our beliefs about aging. We're going to talk about how to become more conscious and wise as we go through the next phase in our lives. But right now, we'll take a break. And when I get back, I'm going to be with George and Sedina Cappanelli, and we'll be talking about how to become conscious and wise. You're listening to Mind Matters.
You give this charmless world some grace, and I don't know how you do all of those things you do there. So brand new.
Suffer from pain? Pain comes in many forms, from muscle aches and pains to nerve pain. It's painful not to have the energy you want, or to suffer from allergic reactions to food, the environment, or your pets. An innovative technology that is being used at Harvard Medical School could be your answer. The Aura PTL laser system is like acupuncture with no needles. It works on the energy body and the physical body, bringing relief from pain, hormone imbalance, adrenal fatigue, and even allergies of all kinds. Combined with homeopathy, this non-invasive therapy brings healing on all the levels of your body. To find out more about laser therapy, go to fernlifecenter.com or call 425-391-3376. 3376. That's 425-391-3376. Your consultation with Keisha Yours, ARNP, is covered by most insurance companies. Call now.
Research shows that over 90% of health issues can be attributed to stress. Not every illness requires pills, supplements, or other costly interventions. Reiki is a Japanese healing technique that calms and relaxes the entire nervous system, working on mental, physical, and spiritual levels. Our Reiki masters at Fern Life Center have been especially trained to individualize your care to suit your unique life concerns. Contact Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376. That's 425-391-3376. To begin your journey to a stress-free life and take charge of your health today. Fern Life Center also offers Reiki training programs from levels 1 through master level. As a certified Reiki master, you too can offer this beautiful healing modality to others or begin a training program of your own if you have always wanted to be a healer. Go to fernlifecenter.com for more information or call today.
If you are tired of feeling sluggish, overweight, and out of balance, Then welcome to the Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method. The Fern Life Center now offers this medically designed protocol that results in fat loss while sparing muscle mass. The Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method is an easy four-phase protocol that helps stabilize the pancreas, hormones, and blood sugar levels while burning fat and maintaining muscle. Not to mention an excellent support for cellulite reduction. The best part? We guarantee success. Welcome to your last diet. Call the Fern Life Center now and register for our next free introductory seminar. That's right, free. Call 425-391-3376 or go to fernlifecenter.com. Mention this ad and qualify for a drawing to receive your first product free. Call 425-391-3376 and find your healthy you. Meditation heals and vitalizes both mind and body. Learn this wonderful art with world-renowned meditation instructor Ajayan Boris in the Effortless Mind Meditation Classes. The Effortless Mind Meditation Classes offer a direct experience of exceptionally deep meditation, accessible to anyone. Call the Fern Life Center today, 425-391-FERN. The Effortless Mind. So easy, anyone can do it.
Made fresh each day for you. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. I'm Polly Campbell in for Ajayan on Mind Matters Radio. You're listening to us live on KKNW 1150 AM. But you can also catch us on the Healthy You Radio Network, where we stream live at healthyyouradio.com. And you can find our archived shows on healthyyouradio.com and also on Ajayan's site on ajayan.com. I'm Polly Campbell, author of Imperfect Spirituality, and you can find out more about me and my work at imperfectspirituality.com. Today, we are talking with George and Sedina Capanelli, authors of Do Not Go Quietly, and we're talking about aging. And, George, before we went to break, we were starting in on how you both were saying that how we think about this aging process in our life or this next phase of our life really affects how we live it. Explain that a little bit. What role do our beliefs have in our aging process?
Well, obviously, you know, there are a number of great quotes that point the way. You know, Henry Ford said, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right. Napoleon Hill said, whatever the mind can conceive of and believe in, it can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly beliefs play a significant role in the way we experience our lives. Many of us grew up, and when we were growing up, we looked at folks who were in their 50s and 60s. And at the time, they seemed pretty old to us, you know. And indeed, in some ways, you know, the 50s and 60s age-wise, several decades ago, were significantly different than people who are 50 and 60 today. So all by itself, if instead of looking out at the world exclusively through our old images and beliefs, we actually look out at the world and see what's happening out there.
Mm,
and
right.
All by itself, that's going to have an impact on the way that we perceive this whole experience called aging. However, there is a unique dynamic. You know, we often credit a guy by the name of Michael Mead, who's a mythologist and storyteller, and he differentiates with people who are aging, and he divides them into two groups. One are olders, and the other are elders.
Mm.
And olders are people that have aged chronologically, but they haven't matured emotionally or spiritually. They haven't necessarily stayed in tune with that unique song that they have come here to sing. And so they kind of get rigid in their beliefs and rigid in their bodies and in the way that they age. And then there are elders, and elders are people who have, you know, they may have gotten off track at various times, but they've stayed in touch with that inner prompt and that inner call. They've struggled through some of the disappointments. They've mastered some of the challenges. And where they get to is a place that's juicy and rich, like aged wine, like mature cheese, like, you know, it like fruit that's just...
It's all the good stuff, huh?
It's the good stuff, yeah. And that doesn't mean there isn't pain and suffering and all of the other things that are just part of the human experience. But that, I think, is the difference between olders and elders, and that's the kind of thing that if we want to lead conscious lives and age wisely, that's what we got to pay attention to.
And that's what we want here on Mind Matters. You know, the people that are that we're talking with today and who are listening to us today, we want to be the elders. We are conscious people, and we're interested in learning more. And when you write about that, then, because you, throughout your book, you talk about being conscious and wise at whatever phase of life you're in. What does that mean, and how can we do that when somebody just cut me off on the freeway, or I'm trying to figure out my retirement package, or my grandkids are not behaving well? How do I remain conscious and wise in those moments?
Well, Polly, I'm going to say again that it comes back to breathing.
Mm.
I think that when we're in our body and we're out of the mind and all the reactivity, and we realize who we are, as Thich Nhat Hanh says, present moment, beautiful moment. This is the moment that I have right now. And when we come back to that, we can see, we get into more of a oneness consciousness, which everyone here in the audience that you just described already knows about. And it's just a reminder of who we really are. And we're always expanding. We're always growing. And if we can remember that, I think that it's fear that comes up that makes us bulk. And it's fear that creates so much of our resistance. Again, it's that higher perspective. And when we have that, we can stay positive. There's a quote, that years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up enthusiasm wrinkles the soul.
Mm.
So staying close to the solitude of nature, there's all these tools that we mention in Do Not Go Quietly in the book that give people a little guidance on how to come back to that place.
One of the tools you mentioned is mindfulness and becoming present.
Yeah.
Can you talk a minute about what that is for people?
Well
go ahead, George.
I'm sorry. The one thing that I want to make sure that we're really clear on, that aging consciously is not about being perfect, you know.
Right.
As you say, you know, you lose it on the highway, somebody cuts you off, you experience a financial loss, you know, there are any number of things that whack us on the side of the head and throw us off balance. But the key is not to be in balance all of the time, but I think the key is to be aware enough that when one finds oneself out of balance, to know what are some of the things we can do to get back in balance. And so,
right. You know,
go ahead.
One thing you write about in your book is you say just that this isn't candy-coated self-help. This is, you know, that you say that the bumps are essential to learning. And I really appreciate that, because for me personally, I think that's where the adventure and the magic in life shows up. And it doesn't mean you're not without pain, as you suggested, or challenge. But it also means that sometimes I feel like when we are pushed out of our comfort zone, that's when we become explorers and we get excited and we find our passions and stumble onto our purpose again. And so I think bumps are part of that for me.
Well, they are. And although, you know, we also have a chapter about the three great illusions of safety, security, and, you know, that it's just many of us long for this sense that everything is okay, but after a while, okay can get pretty dull.
Absolutely.
And boring, you know. Living in the middle is not anywhere near as powerful as living on the edge. That's where our pulse quickens and our senses become alert, and where we're looking at options and possibilities, and we're very, very alive, you know. We're going to... When we leave the physical body, the body is going to be dead for a period of time, you know, before it dissipates. So why do we want to be dead while we're alive? You know?
Right. And, you know, it comes back to that higher perspective. It's all the way we look at things. We have a, a we speak a lot in Do Not Go Quietly about worshiping spontaneity. Mm. And that's another tool, as George was mentioning. It's not that we have to be perfect. I was talking about what Suzuki Roshi said earlier, how we're going to fall down, we're going to make mistakes, but we can take a breath and motivation about and honor about who we really are and just accept ourselves and have compassion for ourselves. And we can use our imagination and creativity and develop new skills and new habits and exercise to de-stress and all of these things. Breathe in the moment and let the feelings come in. There's an expression I love, which is experience in and feelings out, because it's all going to keep moving. We're just growing and moving, and we only get stuck when we have to, when we hold on to a concept or perception that we think is right. So it's a constant letting go and being in the present moment and honoring the feelings that we do have at this time of life, including the way we look, and not pushing down those feelings and listening to our society that tells us we have to have smooth skin and stay
right
the rest of our life. I mean, that's not what, for me, what being an elder is all about. There are a lot of wonderful things at this time of life.
Where does your physical appearance come into play as an elder, or does it? Because clearly the physical body does change in this phase of life.
Well, let's face it. If we use the same standards at every stage of life to judge life, we're going to be in deep doo-doo, you know?
Right.
If you think of a flower, a piece of fruit, a tree, you know, and whatever the happens to be, the age of a home, all of it changes. I mean, in a physical world, there is physical evolution. And, of course, in a media mad world, in a world that's constantly trying to sell us something, nobody wants to look at the wrinkles or whatnot. We want to figure out how to get rid of them. And it's natural. I mean, but it's only natural when we're not willing to recognize that life has a variety of stages. I mean, heck, if the only thing we're interested in is living in the first stage, then we're going to miss an awful mm-hmm. lot of experience. I mean, we came here, we punched the ticket, there's an entrance and there's an exit admission. There are a lot of chapters in between, and if we don't listen to the final symphony, the movement in a symphony, if we don't read the concluding chapters in a book or watch the third act of a play or whatever it happens to be, we're never going to know what the meaning is.
And you know, Polly, there's a real huge clue about how we can take a look at all of this, and we get it from our earth.
Mm.
This is our home, and all around us are answers to a more sane and sustainable life at any age. We can actually drop all of those doubts and insufficiencies and be grounded a lot more and be able to establish a strong connection with nature. So when we come into the autumn of our lives, we can look at it as one of our seasons, just as Earth has her seasons, and we can look at our lives as a unity, a cohesive flow, and one period is never more important than the next. So,
I like that.
Yeah, when we know we're more than our bodies and minds, that's the big thing right there, then we can experience our soul consciousness in our daily lives and view ourselves as spiritual beings, which our listeners know. I mean, we're spiritual beings having this physical experience. So what that does is it transforms our aging process into a spiritual opportunity. And we go beyond time, and then we're in the we can suddenly go, wow, I'm in the present moment. And, wow, isn't that interesting, the way I'm feeling and looking? It's different. You know, it's a different perspective now.
And that's a fantastic perspective. I really find in my life, just like the great teachers have told us, that when I am able to become present and mindful of the moment looks different. And it's so bolder. It's so much bolder, and it's there's no stress there, and there's only opportunity. And that's something you touch on in your book, this present moment living. What's one thing somebody could do today to become more present in whatever moment they find themselves in, whether it's at work or at home or in a doctor's office? What is it we can do to step into this kind of self-awareness of the moment?
Well, one thing is we can get quiet. And in getting quiet, it gives us an opportunity to pay attention to what's going on. If we constantly have barrages of input coming at us and into us, and that stimulates, triggers, directs, occupies, or whatever, how the heck are we ever going to know who we are and what's going on? So, one, cut out a lot of the external input so you can actually be where you are. Secondly, breath that Sedina's been talking about, that following the breath in and out. Third, paying attention to what we feel. What's the temperature in the room? What's the irritation in the body? What's the level of comfort or awareness? What does our heart feel like? What is our blood pulsing? Be where we are instead of being someplace else. We have become a society obsessed with preoccupation. We preoccupy ourselves. We try to entertain ourselves. We try to numb ourselves or excite ourselves or stimulate ourselves or whatever the heck it happens to be. And meanwhile, there's this extraordinary energy that's inside of ourselves. And if we would become observers of life, willing to investigate, willing to understand, we would be much more in the present moment. But we are in an aspirin culture, we call it. You know, we're constantly self-medicating through food, through sex, through entertainment, through drugs, through activity, through whatever. So stop self-medicating. Allow yourself to feel both the discomfort and the pleasure that life offers, and that's present moment awareness.
Yes, and again, to just remember that there's a wonderful expression that helps me every day. Before I speak, before I react in a way that I've always reacted, see in a way I've always seen, I stop and think, just what George said, what is going on here? And I become curious like a child is looking in a mud puddle for polywogs, you know? I become curious and open-minded. That child is just looking. And she's open-minded. She doesn't know if they're there, but she's looking and hoping they're there, right? So I'm just open to the possibilities that are there for me. And as I breathe, I come into this moment, and I discover every time that my body has a lot to say. Hmm. I may not be giving myself enough time to breathe. My shoulders may be up around my neck. This happens all the time when I'm on the computer. Maybe I need to eat something. Maybe I'm lonely. There's a wonderful acronym, HALT. Am I hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? And if I am any of these things, I take care of myself. I halt. I get something to eat. I take care of my anger in whatever way is appropriate. You know, screaming, talking to someone, whatever. If I'm lonely, I reach out usually to someone else. If I'm tired, I rest. So those are just a few of the things that we can do in the present moment.
Yeah, I think those are
true.
Yeah, I think it's valuable. I think it's essential. And I think you're exactly right. We get into moments in our life where we're dealing with sadness or disappointment. And instead of allowing ourselves to sit in those moments, we behave from them. We act from them. We behave badly.
Exactly.
We eat too much or we lash out. When if we can become present to that disappointment and do all the things you said, just become aware of what your body's feeling like and what your heart is feeling like and your emotions, then we become present to it, and it becomes more interesting than debilitating, I find.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Totally agree.
All right. Well, I love this conversation. We are on Mind Matters, talking with George and Sedina Cappanelli, authors of Do Not Go Quietly. When we come back, I want to talk about how we can become wise and conscious elders instead of just older and move into the life we are meant to live. You're listening to Mind Matters Radio.
Don't just take our word for it. Listen to what others have to say about Fern Life Center's amazing weight loss program. Give yourself the gift of good health this season.
Since going on the Fern Life Center Ideal Protein Diet Program, I've been able to go off my cholesterol medication. My total cholesterol is 58 points lower than it was 3 months ago. And that is after going off Lipitor. My good cholesterol has improved, and my bad cholesterol is down, and my triglycerides are now normal. I've lost 55 pounds, 26 inches in 5 months. I feel like I have my life back and am free from my food addictions. Woohoo! Thanks, Keisha, and Ideal Protein.
Go to FernLifeCenter.com to schedule your first appointment today. That's FernLifeCenter.com. Mention this ad and get a water bottle absolutely free. Enjoy a relaxing, healing, hour-long Reiki session through the hands of meditation and Reiki master Ajay and Boris. Reiki treats the whole person, including body, emotions, mind, and spirit, creating many beneficial effects that include relaxation and feelings of peace, security, and well-being. Many have reported miraculous results. Ajayan incorporates tantric mantras and yantras that bring an added dimension and power to traditional Reiki healing. To find out more and to schedule your appointment, email ajayan@ajayan.com today.
Meditation heals and vitalizes both mind and body. Learn this wonderful art with world-renowned meditation instructor Ajayan Boris in the Effortless Mind Meditation Classes. The Effortless Mind Meditation Classes offer a direct experience of exceptionally deep meditation, accessible to anyone. Call the Fern Life Center today, 425-391-FERN. The Effortless Mind. So easy, anyone can do it.
Ajayan's next Effortless Mind Meditation class is being held June 8, 2013 in Issaquah. For more information and to register for the class, visit ajayan.com. That's ajayan.com.
Clear, clean, and crisp. Check us out in digital quality sound on FM 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Mind Matters Radio on 1150 KKNW and Healthy You Radio Network and HealthyYouRadio.com. I'm Polly Campbell. I'm the author of Imperfect Spirituality. I'm filling in for Ajayan today, and we're talking with George and Sedina Capanelli, authors of Do Not Go Quietly. And we're having an interesting discussion about aging and how we do it as a society, as a country, and planet, and really how we feel about it individually. And we were drawing the distinction before about there are people that become of rigid thinking and rigid body, and they grow older. Or there are the folks that see each phase of their life as an opportunity for growth and learning and a chance to really continue living the life of their dreams and the life of possibility. And those people, George and Sedina, called elders. And so what I'm going for is, I want to be an elder, you know. I want to live consciously, and I want to, gather wisdom and have great experience and adventure. And when you write about this form of conscious living in your book, one thing you say is that this is really the next true and great frontier. And I want to know what you mean by that, and how we can get in on that.
Well, I think that there are. I think to live consciously, as we've talked about, is a choice, you know. So life can either be an accident and we can be victims. Life can happen to us. We can let it happen. Or we can do some things that put us more in touch with our own destiny. And surprisingly enough, I think one of the things that puts us in touch with our own destiny is to stop trying to hang on and control things, but to surrender to what's happening, you know. We talked before just briefly about curiosity. So being curious and and being willing to actually experience what's happening instead of trying to project on the world some belief about what is supposed to happen.
Do you think we as a culture are fair to our elders in this way? And when I say that, one thing you write is stop pretending you know it all and get curious and open to learning what you don't know. And yet, you know, we often turn to our elders and we want them to be the experts and solve these problems and take care of us and be able to handle it until a certain age, when then we try to take over and we get into some dynamics that aren't so healthy.
Well, but I think we have a those of us who are elders have a responsibility. We have to speak truthfully about both our frailties as well as our strengths. T.S. Eliot says, "Don't just tell me about the wisdom of old men, but of their frailties and their follies." So the more honest we are about our incapacities as well as our capacities, I think the more we actually represent wisdom, and what we share is used or can be used by other people.
Fantastic. One of the things you talk about that I want to spend a minute here on before we wrap up the show is you need to take care of your incompletes. And I've never heard it talked about like you two did. What is an incomplete, and why is it something I need to become aware of?
Well, I think of it, we talk about it a lot in the book and Do Not Go Quietly, and I think of it as feng shui of the self. It's the energy that we have in our lives and within us that we carry along as baggage. And if we can learn to let those go, the book guides you through all kinds of different incompletes. And it's quite an interesting process, things that you've left undone. And it's amazing when you do those things and complete some of them, how the energy flows and how we're able to move forward with greater wisdom and knowledge, and all of that comes forth. It's just like if there's something inside of us that we haven't dealt with, if we're holding a grudge against somebody, that's another incomplete. It's
interesting.
Forgiveness. The mystery of true forgiveness waits in letting go of all of those ledgers of injustice and retribution so we can regain the feeling of our heart again. That's one of the incompletes that can free us into greater energy for this time of life.
So this process of letting go and surrender that you've both talked about now, it's a process then of making space for us to grow into this next phase and purpose. Is that how you would describe it?
Well, sure. In order for something new to come in, there has to be room for it. So if the room is already cluttered with a lot of old baggage, it's hard to have new experiences. So as Sedina said, a lot of guidance in the book on it, but one of the things we can do is just make a list and cross off the things we're never going to do.
Let it go, huh? Let us off the hook.
Get off the hook. Stop dragging around all that stuff.
Exactly.
You know?
And follow our dreams as well. That's a big part of our book, is resurrecting those dreams that we might have put aside for having children or a job or a career, whatever, and resurrect those gifts and talents that we've been given that are uniquely ours.
One thing I really liked about the book is you have life rules, life tools, and life achievements in every chapter. And the life achievements were stories about people who did follow their dreams, no matter what the age, right? In their 80s and their 70s and even older. Why did you put them in the book?
That's to shatter the illusion, the myth, that somehow, you know, if you don't get it done by the time you're 40, you're never going to get it done. Well, many of the great people in history that we rever and read their biographies and autobiographies and celebrate are people that didn't even get started on their real greatness until they were in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. You know, the Michelangelos, the Sistine Chapels, there's so many great accomplishments. In one of our chapters, we talk about a French woman by the name of Jean-Louis Clément. And Clément died at 122 years and 164 days, and she was still riding her bicycle at 100.
I mean, she puts us to shame,
you know. George Burns, almost 100, who said, young, old, just words. So we have opportunity, extraordinary opportunity, and Do Not Go Quietly is written as a practical, accessible guide to help
people. Give me one of those practical tools. We've talked about a lot of them in this conversation, but we're going to wind up here in a minute. What can I do today to become more conscious and get on the road to being this elder and living my life no matter what phase I'm in?
Well, just a simple one would be to create a daily intention. It's one of the tools. It's a great practice. You can just do it in the present moment. What can I do today to enliven my life? Questions are the door that opens the psyche. The psyche swings open when we ask the proper questions, and we have them inside, and that still small voice within us knows. that I need to do today to create an expansive, loving life? How can I be my very best today? That's just one really simple one.
Another way
of
saying
that is... Do you do that out loud, Sedina? Do you do that out loud or write it down? What do you suggest?
I like to meditate every morning and ask the question, or actually set an intention for that day. Today I'm going to be kind to myself. I'm going to be compassionate with myself and others, whatever it is.
Okay. George, you had another tip?
Well, just, no, a similar one, and that is to always to thine own self be true.
Right.
You know, always use that as the bellwether. You're not alive to be someone else. You're alive to
be
yourself.
You know? Do not go quietly. George and Sedina Cappanelli, where can we learn more about your work?
Well, agenation.com is one place where you can learn about our work. The book site is donotgoquietlythebook.com. And, of course, people can buy it on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, and local independent bookstores everywhere.
And so think of this life passage as an opportunity to be your best for the rest of your life.
Be your best for the rest of your life. That's a great sentiment, and I think it's one, I love this notion that we get to choose that. You know, we can pick how we feel and how we believe. Why would we pick something that's not helpful to us? So let's go. Let's become wise and conscious elders. And together, I think when we do that, that's when we can really make a difference on the national and societal level to take care of those who are just now learning this information and becoming conscious themselves.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So do not go quietly. Another parting thought is Meister Eckhart once said, if the only prayer one ever says is thank you, that is enough.
That's a great way to end the show.
Be grateful. Be grateful.
Thank you. George and Sedina Cappanelli, thank you all for tuning in. I'm Polly Campbell filling in for Ajahn today. You can find me and my work at imperfectspirituality.com. Ajahn will be back with you next week. So tune in, and he will be here to visit with Ross Rosenberg, and they'll be talking about the human magnet syndrome. That's all for now. Be here next week at mindmatters.com. Thank you for tuning in.